Devaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Where is Balaram? Is Balaram here? Are you here, Balaram? Oh, there he is. There he is, the man himself. This is what our this is who our program is all about. There you see. This is Balaram. And Balaram is about how old now? About 6 months. How many? 4.5 only. But Vishvamba and his wife were thinking that it would be nice to have, but they haven't had a program for all the devotees to sort of introduce Balaram so everyone can get to know Balaram. He's a very nice little chap, very quiet and peaceful so far. Perhaps things will change when he gets warmed up a bit, but so far he's a real gentleman. So he is a nice little devotee, and we are sort of officially welcoming him into our devotee community tonight. This is the idea behind this program, although, as we said, it's nice, it's very nice just to get together anyway. But tonight we're getting together by the mercy of Balaram. So you can all pray to Krishna, offer your blessings to Balaram, and pray to Krishna that he grows up to be a very nice little devotee boy. Yes. And in due course of time, he'll become one of the important devotees here in Phoenix, and he'll be able to do a lot to spread Krishna consciousness in the next generation. Yeah. So that's very nice. Little Balaram. Nice little devotee. Actually, we already, you know, there are different samskaras. Samskaras means there are different turning points in a person's life. The first turning point is the time of conception, then the time of birth itself, then there's a name-giving ceremony, a hair-cutting ceremony, and after 6 months, there is a grains, anaprashna it's called, first grains ceremony. So Balaram, he's only 4.5 months old, but he already had his first grains. He really wanted to just go for it. And we normally on that occasion, we also allow the child to choose whether he wants the Srimad Bhagavatam or whether he wants money. In the case of Balaram, well, we thought we didn't really need to offer him the choice. We thought it was sort of automatic, but we thought he was a bit young, actually, because normally they have to be able to crawl to be able to move around between these two objects. But I've seen it done. I remember at least one we did in the temple, one pre-crawling child. Child was only about 4 months, so was still just lying there, unable to move, even crawl. So we put the Bhagavatam there, and we put some money there, and we put him there in the middle. And he didn't know what was happening at all. He was a little bewildered, actually. So he started crying. Then he couldn't crawl, of course, as we mentioned, but he started sort of lifting himself up with his arms, lifting his chest up and picking himself up a bit. And then he just fell over on top of the Bhagavatam. So he took that as a choice. Then he came, straightened himself back up to normal, and again tried to pick himself up and push himself up, and again fell on top of the Bhagavatam. So that was the confirmation. So then he rolled back and again tried to press himself up, and again straight on top of the Bhagavatam, three times in a row. How's that? That was a pretty clear indication that he will be a great scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam and a nice devotee. So we will do that with Balaram after a little while. But for the time being, he's had his first grains. So let us read a verse from Bhagavad Gita. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge, Text 22. Lord Krishna says, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Ye jana parupasate tesham nitya biyukta nam yogik shemam vahamyaham. Translation: but those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. I don't know if you remember, but we read this verse back during your tent campaign. You remember the program we had here? We had the Ratha Yatra, and then for some nights we had program here. And one of the nights we read this verse, I think. Yeah, the last night. So why don't we recite this verse responsively? You can repeat after me, okay? But those who always worship me, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. That's very nice, isn't it? In other words, Krishna is very kind to his devotees. If we try to serve him and please him, then he will reciprocate. Even he'll reciprocate far beyond our expectations. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, being engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services, cultivating friendship, and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies, which make the devotee perfect in self-realization, so that his only desire is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. By the mercy of the Lord, such a devotee never comes back to this material condition of life. Kshema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. And when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable, conditioned life. Aranyas chintayanto mam yejana parupasate tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. For those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. Om Gyanatam Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshumilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is very wonderful verse. This is one of the very special verses in Bhagavad Gita. We mentioned how during your tent campaign, the program we had here for 5 days or so, it was earlier this year still. It was in June after the Rath Yatra. So we read this verse on the last day. Probably many of you were here. And we told one story. Do you remember that story, Rajiv? You remember the story? Think so? We told the story of Arjuna Acharya. Arjuna Acharya. He was a devotee in South India, and he loved reading Bhagavad Gita. He would read the whole thing every day, from beginning to end. Of course, that was just the verses only, without any purports, but still it took a while. So he read it every day. And he loved it. He just loved it. But there was only one part which he didn't really love. There was only one part which he couldn't understand. And even to the point that he thought maybe Krishna made a mistake. Or maybe somebody made a mistake. And that was this verse. Krishna says, yogikshemam vahamyaham, that to my devotee who is trying to serve me and remember me, that I personally carry to that devotee, whatever that devotee lacks. He thought this was a mistake by somebody because he thought Krishna is God. What is God doing? Carrying things and delivering things like some sort of delivery boy. So he thought, this is not proper. This is not proper. It can't be Vahami. Vahami means I carry. So I don't know, can any of you remember what he thought it was? The alternative? Not Vahami, but... Any of you remember the word? He thought, maybe it is Karomi. Karomi means I cause it to happen. I make it happen. That was what he thought. That Krishna, he is God. He doesn't just have to run around delivering things. You take this, you take that. And no, he's God. He can just get someone else to do that. And he can just relax because he's God. So therefore he cut that word out. He cut the word out of the page, the word Vahami, and he wrote in place of it Karomi, which rhymes, it rhymes, Yogikshemam Karomyaham. See, it sounds okay. And the meaning is that for my devotees, I cause that they get what they lack. I cause it to happen that they get what they lack. But then, if you remember the story, he was very poor. And after having cut that word out and written in the other word in place, then afterwards he decided, well, it was time to go out and beg food. They did not have any food. They were very poor. Can you imagine living here in Phoenix? And you don't know where your next meal is going to come from. So when you get hungry, you don't just run down to the shop right and pull out your Visa card and buy something. But when you get hungry, you just go out into the street and you start asking people, could you please give me something? That is very humbling. So he had to do that every day because he was very poor. So out he went. And while he was out, there was a knock on the door. And his wife opened the door. And there were two young boys there. One was a young, dark-skinned boy, very dark. And the other was a young, light-skinned boy, very light. Like white. Actually white colored skin. And they had between their shoulders, there was one pole balanced on their shoulders. And in the middle of the pole, there was one basket hanging. And it was full of vegetables and grains and ghee and spices and everything you need to make a very nice meal. So the boys said, we met your husband, he was begging in the market, and we told him that here, you can have all these foods. And we told him, we'll deliver them to your door. So here we are, we're delivering them. And the wife said, oh, really? That's amazing. Thank you. That's so kind of you. And she said, please come in and sit down. And I will cook and prepare a nice feast, and my husband will be back in a little while, and we could all have a feast together. So the dark-skinned boy, he said, no, no, I'm not going to stay here. For when your husband comes, because you know what happened? Then he showed the wife his back. On his back, there were some cuts and some blood. Oh, it was very horrible. And he told the wife, he said, you know, your husband did this. Arjuna Acharya, your husband, he did this. When I was offering that here is all this food, and I will deliver it to your house, no problem. Then your husband, he hit me, and he cut my back. You see? And so I'm not staying here, I'm getting out of here before he comes back, because we don't know what he'll do next. So they left. And the wife, she was astonished. How is it possible that my husband could do such a thing? He's not like that. And to such a nice boy, who's being so helpful and giving all this nice food and delivering it to our door. How is it possible? She was bewildered. Anyway, shortly after, her husband came back from begging, and he didn't have anything. He had nothing. And he told his wife, well, looks like we have to fast today, because when you're a beggar, it's like that. Yeah, it's like that. Some days, you just have to fast. Not because you want to, but because you have no choice. So, he saw his wife was cooking a big feast. And he asked, where did this come from? What happened? And she said, you know, it was those boys. The dark-skinned boy, the light-skinned boy, you remember? And he said, no, I don't remember any dark-skinned boy, light-skinned boy, I don't remember. And she said, of course you remember, they were offering to bring all this food to the house, to deliver it. But then you hit him, the dark-skinned boy. You hit him in the back, and you cut his back, you remember? And Arjuna Acharya said, no, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Something is wrong. Something is wrong here. And as he was wondering, what is going on here? All this food, tons of food is delivered. But then they say, I hit them on the back and cut their back. And what is this? This is very, most extraordinary. So as he was trying to understand what could have happened, his eye fell on this verse of Bhagavad Gita, where he had cut out that word, Vahami, that I personally carry and I personally deliver, where he cut it out and put in that other word, Karomi, which was just his speculation, actually. That Krishna causes it to happen, that these things come to the devotee. And then he remembered that this Bhagavad Gita, it is non-different from Krishna. It is the literary form of Krishna. Krishna is personally present in the pages of Bhagavad Gita. This is why we do not put the Bhagavad Gita down on the ground. I hope you're aware of that. If you're not, well, please bear it in mind from now. We do not put the Bhagavad Gita or any other of the sacred scriptures, we do not put them on the ground, which is a dirty place, because this is the Lord. We want to offer respect. And if somehow we drop the book and it falls on the ground, then we'll pick it up and we'll touch it to our head to offer respect and to, you could say, sort of apologize in a sense. And we will not step over the book. It's all these different types of things. And we should be very careful how we handle the book. Because it is Krishna. It is not just some paper with ink on it, just manufactured in some factory somewhere. Even though that has been there, but actually, it is not really like that. This is actually directly the form of Krishna. So Arjuna Acharya realized, I have made a horrible mistake. I cut that word out. So, in effect, I was cutting the body of the Lord. I was committing violence against my dear Lord Krishna. And then he realized, what an offense I have committed, that my wife is such a nice devotee. Still Krishna came and delivered everything anyway. So this is a nice story told by Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, it's in a lecture actually. Srila Prabhupada is giving a lecture. And Srila Prabhupada says that many businessmen or people who are into money, they think money is very important. Prabhupada said that for a materialistic person, money is sweet, just like honey. Oh, so nice. Relishable, just like honey. So, Srila Prabhupada said in that lecture that some businessman or some man who's very much into money, he may see the devotees and they don't have any job. They're not working in the factory, pressing the button, pulling the lever, stepping on the pedal, doing all sorts of wonderful things like that. They're not in the factory. Neither are they in the office pushing the pen. But the devotees are just happily chanting Hare Krishna. So they think, ha, look at these people. Look at these people. That sometimes they come to beg from me. Oh dear Mr. Businessman, please give some money for Krishna. So they are dependent on me. So I am like God, actually. So, Srila Prabhupada commenting there, he says that for that man, Krishna speaks this verse, that we should not underestimate Krishna. No. That Krishna looks after his devotees in all respects, just like me. Not that I'm much of a devotee if I am one, but anyway, sort of going through the motions in some respects. But I've been doing this now for almost 30 years, but still I haven't died yet of starvation or not having a roof over my head or not getting medical treatment. You see, you haven't died either. You're still around. So I'm still around. But I haven't been working in the factory. Sorry to say. Sorry to say, I haven't been working in the factory or in the office. Just been chanting and dancing, chanting Hare Krishna. What do you think of that? Is that okay? Well, kind to his devotees. This is agreement, you see. He's agreeing. I hope we're feeding him enough prasad. Are you getting enough prasad? I don't think so. I think he's hungry. So here, Krishna's saying that I will preserve what my devotees have. This means that if the devotee is due to lose something, that Krishna will preserve it so that they don't lose it. And Krishna says, I will carry to them what they lack. That's clear. There's something you need, but you don't have it. But Krishna will bring it. He'll look after you. So in the commentaries of our previous acharyas on this verse, Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, one of our great acharyas, he makes a very interesting comment. But he makes that comment in the form of a little bit of extra conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna says to Krishna, he complains that your devotee is meant to serve you. But now this devotee is engaging you in his service because you are having to preserve things for him, and sometimes you're having to bring things and deliver them to him. So this devotee is making you serve him. So Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that Arjuna complains that this is a sign of a lack of love. This is the sign of a lack of real concern for Krishna. That the devotee is so busy serving Krishna, the devotee is so busy serving Krishna, he cannot look after himself. So Krishna has to come running around behind him to look after him. You get the idea? Sort of like a mother. The child is so busy playing that the mother has to come running around behind him, putting things back together again, clearing up the messes, and all that sort of thing. So Arjuna makes that sort of complaint to Krishna, that this is a sign of a lack of love, that the devotee does not look after himself sufficiently. So Krishna is forced to look after him. So Arjuna suggests to Lord Krishna, he says, wouldn't it be better if the devotee did less service and took some time out to look after himself, to preserve his own things, and to make some effort to get the things that he lacks? You follow? And Arjuna suggests that this would be more appropriate rather than forcing Krishna to serve me, the devotee. But then Krishna, according to Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna tells Arjuna, no, it is not like that. He says, I am looking for opportunities to reciprocate with my devotees. Yes, Krishna says like that, that I am looking for chances to do something for my devotees, to express my affection for them. And he gives a nice example. I think you may have heard this example. He gives the example of a young boy, a young man, who has a girlfriend. And they have their relationship, and they go here and there together, and spend time together, and so on. So one time, Krishna says, one time, they were walking, and they came to one river. And the girl asked the boy, "Would you please pick me up and carry me across the river?" So what did the boy do? Did the boy say, "No, you're too heavy. I don't want to have to carry you. You get yourself across the river. Don't try to take advantage of me." No. The boy, he was very happy that he got some opportunity to express his feelings to that girl. So he very happily picked her up, carried across the river, and he was very happy that that happened. He was not feeling bad that my girlfriend is taking advantage of me, something like that. So Krishna, he feels like that. Jiva Goswami says that even though Krishna, it was Jiva Goswami's disappearance day on Thursday, incidentally, just day before yesterday. Jiva Goswami says that even though Krishna is so deep, so vast, just like an unlimited ocean, but still Krishna never forgets even the smallest drop of service that the devotee does. Even if it's practically nothing, just a little bit of service. In Nectar of Devotion, if you've read Nectar of Devotion, you would have seen that Krishna's qualities are described there. And there is one quality, gratefulness. Krishna is always grateful for whatever little bit we may do for him. So there, Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti is quoted. She is speaking to Krishna after the battle of Kurukshetra. And she tells Krishna that one day snow may become hot and fire may become cold, but I know you will never forget what your devotees have done for you. In other words, the impossible may happen, but that will never happen, because Krishna, he's fixed like that. He's fixed in his kindness to his devotees. So we should try to learn to depend on Krishna rather than depending on so many material things. It may be a little difficult sometimes, because we are so much in the habit of depending on material things, that we should try to cultivate a little detachment and try to cultivate a little more attachment to Krishna. We should try and do like that. And then we will see how Krishna is helping in so many regards. If we think that I will do everything for me, I will look after myself, I will go to the factory and pull the lever, press the button, step on the pedal for the rest of my life, and in this way I will look after myself, being Krishna, he will look at you and think, oh, he doesn't need me. He doesn't need me. He's looking after himself. He is. But if we try to become a little detached and we're not so concerned about all of our comforts and everything, that we try to serve Krishna and lead a simpler life, then we'll see Krishna will intervene. Krishna will help. Just like you know the story of Sudama. You know that story, Sudama the Brahmin? He had nothing, just nothing at all. But he had a family to maintain, so he agreed to go and ask Krishna for something, because they had been at school together. So he went, and he stayed overnight at Krishna's place. And they had such wonderful exchanges that Sudama, he forgot to ask Krishna, please give me some money. He forgot. And he only remembered when he was almost home. And then he thought, oh, I forgot. What is my wife going to say? But then he thought, no, actually it's better. Because if I got lots of money, I probably would have forgotten Krishna. So he felt good. It's good that Krishna didn't give me anything. Anyway, a few minutes later he got home, and then he saw his home had been transformed into a palace. Very opulent. So we are not trying to claim here that exactly the same thing may necessarily happen to you, that your house may transform into a palace. Can you imagine? Vishvambar was afraid that the number of people who might come to the program tonight might not fit into his house. That's why we're here. Otherwise we'd be at his house. So of course he's right. We wouldn't have all fitted in the house. So maybe he's going to go home tonight and find that his house has expanded. Anyway, we don't really expect that, because, you know, he's not quite on the level of Sudama the Brahmin. But, still, even if you're not on the level of Sudama the Brahmin, but Krishna, he will look after you in ways which are appropriate. Yes. So that we should try to cultivate. And in this way we can advance in Krishna consciousness. Now we've got a few questions here. Let's try to answer them. Does Lord Krishna help only those who are Krishna conscious or everyone who asks for his assistance? He helps particularly those who are Krishna conscious. Those who just ask for money or something, and they're not devotees, then he may help them. He may not help them also. But for his devotees, he definitely helps them. He guarantees that I will preserve what they have and carry to them what they lack. So therefore, Be a devotee. If you're not a devotee, well, anything could happen, to be quite frank. And Krishna, he may not help if he thinks that you're just a nonsense and you're going to use that money for some nonsense purpose. Oh Krishna, please give me enough money to buy a bottle store. I don't think Krishna will fulfill that desire. Now, did I tell you the story? I may have told you about this one little boy in America named Johnny, and he wanted a new bicycle. Did I tell you about him? So he asked his mother, "Give me a new bicycle." She said, "No, it's not your birthday. Christmas just passed. We've got no money." But he was getting a little frantic. "I want a bicycle." She said, "Well, look, why don't you go to your room and pray to Jesus?" So he went to his room. "Dear Jesus, please give me a bicycle." He looked around. No bicycle. He said, "Dear Jesus, you know, I've been really good. Please give me a bicycle." No bicycle. Then he realized, actually, I haven't been so good. Then he said, "Dear Jesus, you know, I tried to be good. Please give me a bicycle." No bicycle. Then he remembered that he hadn't really tried to be good. So he said, "Dear Jesus, I will be good. Please give me a bicycle." No bicycle. So then he got a little frustrated. He was a Catholic. In Catholic churches, they have statues like deities. So he went to the church. He was sitting there. There's one statue of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So little Johnny, he looked around. No one was around. He grabbed the statue of Mary and he ran. He stole it. Then he got back home into his room. He said, "Dear Jesus, if you want to get your mother back, give me a bicycle." So not like that. Not like that. But if you're a devotee, if you want to serve Krishna, he'll help you. So be a devotee. Can we please explain who wrote Brahma Samhita? It was written by Lord Brahma. It's written by Lord Brahma. It's one of the original Vedic scriptures. Spoken by Lord Brahma and written down by Vyasadeva 5,000 years ago. You know, Vyasadeva, he wanted to write down all the Vedic scriptures. They're very big. He needed a fast writer. So he asked Ganesh. Ganesh has four hands. And he said, "Yes, I'll write with my four hands at the same time. But there's one condition. I will only write as long as you don't stop speaking. You just have to keep going." And I mean, we're talking about days and months, maybe even years of reciting things without a break. So Vyasadeva said, "Okay, I will not stop. But you must agree that you will not write anything down if you haven't understood it." So Ganesh said, "No problem." So every now and then when Vyasadeva wanted to use the bathroom, he would just quickly say something very tricky and Ganesh wouldn't understand. So then he'd take a break for 5 minutes and come back. And when he wanted to sleep at night, he'd say something really abstract and very kind of difficult philosophy. And Ganesh would become stumped for hours. And then he would take rest. Vyasadeva would take rest. So he wrote them down. But actually it's spoken by Brahma. "Please explain why you joined the Hare Krishna movement." Well, you know, I was 21. The ripe old age of 21. Seen everything, done it all. not quite, but on the way. And I thought, it's not worth it, working in the factory, pulling the lever, pressing the button, stepping on the pedal. It's just not worth it. So, then I saw how happy the devotees were, so I became a devotee, or I joined the devotees, put it that way. That's why, because I could see, it was so clear, that material life and working like a dog for some unappreciative master, it's just not worth the trouble. How does one maintain one's spiritual life with material life, especially if one is a student? Well, you just follow the program of Krishna consciousness. You get up early in the morning and you chant your rounds. You have a morning program. Then during the day you can do your student work. And then in the evening you can do more Krishna consciousness. This is how you do it. Yeah. It's pretty easy. Why does Srimati Radharani not wear tilak? Well, she does wear tilak, but you haven't got the eyes to see it. Why have you not got the eyes? That's the real question. Yes, you need spiritual eyes. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he describes that she has tilak. Her tilak is her good fortune. May sound a little abstract, but actually it's a fact. Her tilak is there on her forehead and all over her body in the form of her good fortune. When is the right time during your beginning years to wear tilak and why? Well, you should start wearing tilak as soon as you start chanting regularly. Maybe 1, 2, 3 rounds a day, just something in the beginning. So when you start taking up the practices and trying to apply yourself, trying to take Krishna consciousness a little seriously, then you should start wearing tilak. Because that marks your body as a temple of the Lord. Your body becomes sanctified. That on the forehead, that is the footprint of the Lord. On your nose, that is the tulsi leaf. So these things sanctify your body. It's very nice. Balaram is only 4.5 months old. Don't you think we should wait until he's older? And decide whether he should go for the Srimad Bhagavatam or the money? I think you don't like this idea of going for the Srimad Bhagavatam. I think you're one of these bread heads. What would happen if we put you there? Anyway, money. Srimad Bhagavatam is directly the form of the Lord. So we should try and take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And if a child is attracted to that, that's very nice. Is Buddha an incarnation of Lord Krishna? Yes. Why does one have to fast on Ekadasi? Well, you just have to avoid grains. Because all sinful activity is in grains on Ekadasi. Why do we not have a picture of Lord Vishnu on the altar? Well, you know, there are so many forms of the Lord. If we had a picture of everyone on the altar, it would fill up the whole room. But Krishna, he is the original form All the other forms are within Krishna. So when Krishna is there, then Vishnu is there, Narayan, Kurama, Varaha, Vamana, they're all there. Last question. If one must not keep the sacred Bhagavad Gita on the floor, then why is the mridanga kept on the floor, which is used to glorify the Supreme Lord? Well, you know, come on, we have to draw a line somewhere. You are meant to glorify the Supreme Lord. Why do we keep you on the floor? But the mridanga is not directly the Supreme Lord. The mridanga is a devotee. So the devotees, they can stay on the floor, it's okay. Yeah. But Krishna himself, no, we have to be very careful with Krishna himself. Hare Krishna. So we hope you will pray for little Balaram and bless him, that he'll become a nice devotee and a happy devotee. That is the main reason we've gathered here tonight. So now we'll have Arati. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.